Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for this outreach that we have, this fellowship time together, Lord, and this time of fellowship, a time of learning, a time of prayer, a time of praise reports and testimonies, Lord, and we ask for your presence here with us tonight, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would be working through each one of us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in every one of us, Lord, that you're keeping us on that narrow walk, Lord, and that you're providing correction where it's needed, and you're providing love where it's always needed. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We just praise you, Father, for the time ahead, that you're preparing us for that, Lord. It sure looks like things are exploding all over the world, Lord. And we know you're in control. We don't worry about a thing because we're in your hands, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for all that you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. I would ask that everybody mute your telephone if you can. If you can't, let me know and I'll mute you.
Yeah, Mike, mute mine, Linda Weaver.
Okay.
And Mike.
All right, Wade, Mike, I got you, brother. Okay.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
For a minute there, your mic sounded like it was underwater. So.
In the name of Jesus, you better quit that right now.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, do we have any prayer requests, or does anybody need prayer? This is the time for it.
Yeah, I'll take some prayer real quick. A couple weeks ago, I said I was faced with a situation about maybe having to supervise, and I got out of it while they put me back into it within a few days real quick. So I've been in a supervisory position for a couple of weeks, so I'm not permanent, but it's for a few, just babysitting basically while the supervisor's gone because she had to go take a vacation. And I've got some employees that are kind of trying to press in my buttons, and it's not really too bad, but I actually had one guy, I didn't give him anything unreasonable to do, and he just blew off on me today and swearing and cussing at me and stuff, and I thought, whoa. And I let it go, but he made it, you know, sound like I gave him too much to do, but I didn't. I know better, because I do the same work, and I actually gave him help. And so this is we have a 2-4 building, and this was on the second floor. He was located, and he always worked up. I was up there. So I'd go downstairs and check on a few things and talk to a few people, get a few things organized for the next day. And then he was down there talking to somebody else when I went down there. And I says, first of all, I told this guy, you got to go back upstairs. You just, you know, you belong upstairs on the second floor. And I left it at that, and I started talking to the person I need to talk to, and he's still standing there. And I says, maybe you didn't understand this, but now I'm going to have to tell you, this is a direct order. You have to go back upstairs because that's the language we have to use in order to let people know, you know, you're at the line now. And so he got mouthy, you know. And he said, watch this kind of thing. Told the guy, walked off in the bathroom. And I said, well, I'll put it this way. If you're not upstairs in a half hour, you're going to be in the office. And I got thinking about it after I left. And I thought, you know, this guy is a Christian doing this stuff, you know. Christian by name, I would say. You know, he's got some issues to overcome. And I don't want to be in this position, but he kind of forced this on me. And so this situation. So I decided, well, I'll take it to my boss, explain it to her. She's the manager. And she says, I'll take it from here. So it's kind of put it in her hands. Not like I was trying to tell on it, but I thought at the same time, it's like, this is kind of escalating where I don't want it to go. I'm just here for a few days, and I'm not trying to push anything, but he's kind of taking advantage of the situation. And so anyways, I guess the prayer is to be just for calm. I've been pressing for that, you know. Not that I'm getting upset, but it's like he's taking things to a place where we don't need to go. And that's, I'm not quite understanding it. I know it's a spirit there, and I'm not sure what that spirit is. But anyways, that's what I'm up against. I just thought I'd bring it out there.
Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for giving David wisdom in those kind of situations, Lord, that he would show the power and the light of God in his life and the way he conducts himself, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the patience. We thank you for the long-suffering that you've given us to bear, Lord, and we thank you for that in his life, Father. But we, most of all, we thank you, Lord, that what comes out of his mouth is of you, Lord, and that people would respect him for it. And Father, we thank you for that, that he is going to be looked up to as a light in that place. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Anyone else?
Michael?
Hey, Joe.
Morning. Just want to pray for us, please. Just want to make sure where we stand with all the things going to happen here in South Africa for the time that's coming. So I just want to make sure we need some wisdom on what we should do.
Okay. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for your wisdom concerning where Joe and Nora is to be in the days ahead. Father, we thank you that you've got them in your hands. They don't have to worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, Father, because you're going to take care of them wherever. You can be right in the middle of all the action and not be harmed and be just as patient and be just as calm, Lord, because you're with them, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them this revelation of where you want them to be, Lord. If you want them to be there, Lord, we ask that you put it at peace in their heart where they are. And if not, Lord, we ask that you give them a dream, a vision, a word of knowledge, Lord. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in both of them. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you're the Father of prayer, and you listen to all prayers. And we know, Father, that you are the one that is in control. Praise you, Father, for your sovereignty in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Linda.
Why don't you suggest that he listen to Brother Eel's teaching on Sunday? He really covers how, you know, we can be safe wherever we are in a real interesting way that would bless them probably. Can they get his program?
Yeah, well, you just did, so.
Okay, because it's just fabulous. I've listened to it 3 times. It is so comforting because, you know, things are coming, but we don't have to worry about a thing except, you know, just be right with the Lord, and he'll direct our path. You know, he won't let us be where we're not supposed to be. And so, and if we're any place that is dangerous, he'll just translate us out of it, or, you know, or whatever he has to do. So anyway, I'm just really blessed by that teaching on Sunday. Everyone ought to hear it because it's just wonderful.
Amen. It's
comforting and good instruction and a way of life for us as Christians. Okay, you can put me on mute again.
Okay. Well, all right. Anybody else have a prayer request?
Yeah, I do, Michael. I had a little bit earlier started getting this stuffy nose thing happening. You know, like you feel like when you're starting to get a cold or something like that. And I've been rebuking it, and I just want you all to agree with me. This has to go in Jesus' name. So I would just thank you for giving Jesus, your son, by his stripes. I am healed, and I can just command this stuffiness, this cold virus, allergy thing, whatever it is, sinus thing, In the name of Jesus, you must go. And by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I'm not under the curse. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the faith you've given Missy to believe that she is healed. In Jesus' amen. Name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anyone else?
We agree with you, Missy.
Amen.
Thanks, David.
Hello, Michael.
Gaynold, you're sound like you're in that barrel of water.
Oh, really? I called the 423 number. So.
I don't know what the deal is with that with y'all, but in the name of Jesus, right now we command that. That number to work up there in Nebraska in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that that's going to be a good communications line for them from this point on in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that your angels are on the job. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, Gay, don't go now because we're going to be able to understand you. Maybe you need to get off and get back on again because it's
okay.
Okay.
Michael.
Hey.
Can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Jackie. I had to go out and come back in because I was asking for prayer two or three times, but you didn't respond, so I guess you couldn't hear me.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. I couldn't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. As long as you can hear me now, praise the Lord. I need prayer,
amen.
Please, for my for my leg. I'm still. I guess I'm still struggling with it, and I received a report that I was told a report that I didn't receive, and I'm still experiencing. More pain and more swelling now as time's going on, and I just started walking, put weight on it again last week, so it's not even been maybe about 5 days, but I need prayer for grace to endure because it's
okay.
Kind of tough. Just I became real discouraged last night, and I cast that down, and I repented for it, so. I just need prayer for more healing and grace to endure and strength.
Okay. All right. Please. Father, Lord, you heard what Jackie has to say. Lord, we thank you that we don't have any part of the curse. We're not under that curse. We don't have to put up with it. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command that leg to stop the pain right now in Jesus' name. We command that pain out of that leg. We bind up all the works of the enemy that's sitting there trying to get a foothold on Jackie's leg in Jesus' name. And we command you off in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that her leg is healed. She doesn't have to worry about it anymore. She doesn't have to put up with any pain in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given her the faith and the grace to believe, Father, that she is healed. That she doesn't have to worry about it anymore. Lord, we just praise you for the work that you're doing in her as well. Lord, we just we thank you that your grace is. We thank you, Lord, that you have already healed her. We thank you, Lord, for your grace upon her and for giving her endurance in this trial that you put her in, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, that she is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Lord, for Jackie's healing.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thanks, Mike. You bet. I'm going to ask that everybody be sure that your phone is muted when other people are talking because it's kind of a distraction at times when somebody's praying and they come on and they hear you in the background. But no biggie. All right. Anybody else?
Michael, this is Gaynold again. Does it sound better?
Oh, much better. I can even tell who you are now.
Oh, well, good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, I'm calling to ask for prayer, and I'm not exactly sure what I need to ask for, I guess. I had a dream last week that kind of disturbed me, I guess, and my spirit just is not receiving the words that the Lord does give me, and I'm not sure why. I guess, anyway, maybe someone can shed some light on this. Anyway, I had a dream, and I was being pursued, and, you know, someone was wanting me dead, and, you know, I was trying to find somewhere to go, and but the only place that I actually found to go in was like a place that was, actually, it seemed like it was on a little knoll, but it was just a room that was all glass, and it's like, oh, I don't feel safe here, and I was wondering what it was about, and as I was praying, I felt the Lord saying that there was, you know, great persecution coming, and that people would be pursuing me, but there was safety. And when I told my husband about it, he thought that perhaps the glass room was, you know, representing dying to self, you know, that, and I think that's probably true, that it's not a physical death, but that the old man would be put to death. And I guess the part that I see in that is, you know, many times there's something that I would like to share, but I back out. And I just felt that the Lord is saying that that's because I'm looking at what I feel my ability would be, and I'm not I don't have confidence in that, but my confidence does need to be in what he would say through me and not mine. So then I was saying, okay, so that's that spirit of pride that needs to be put to death because I'm looking at my ability and not what the Lord does. And but anyway, I've really been struggling with that this past week. But he has really given me some good verses, and they all are to me, you know, to look to him and not to give no thought of what or how I would say the words, but that he would just speak those words that he wanted to speak through me. And I know one of the words I got shortly after that, when I was, you know, really upset about this, and was from Luke 21, and the verse that I put my finger on was verse 15. It's, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to withstand or gainsay." And really, there were a lot of verses that just really spoke to me. And I thought that was really an awesome word, because it's like, you don't have to worry about what you're going to say because I will speak through you. And then today, I don't know, we were gone for a couple of days, and so I just, I don't know, all the way back, my spirit was just still troubled. It's like, so why do I constantly listen to, you know, it's like a spirit that's saying, I don't know whether it's, I guess I'm not really sure, but it's like I am not listening to what the Father is telling me. And today I got the verse from Isaiah 58, and the verse I put my finger on was verse 12, but I was going to start with verse 11 because they really did speak to me. "And the Lord will guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in dry places and make strong thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." And my finger was on this verse. "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." And, you know, I know the Lord is faithful, and I just, it really bothers me that I continually, it seems like since I had that dream, I just I'm always thinking of negative things, wondering, okay, so what did I do that I know when I woke up from that dream is, what am I doing that the Lord wants me dead? But I guess it is probably the dying to self thing, I think, probably like my husband said. You know, maybe
yeah.
you can
well,
shed some more light on that. But I see that that could be very possibly the true meaning of it.
What confused you about it other than the thought that you would die? But you got those verses that
well,
kind
you
of
know, that's the thing of it. I get those verses, but, you know, when I think about that dream, my thought was, what am I doing that the Lord wants me dead? You know, that because, I mean, when I woke up, my spirit was just so distressed. and you know, going back through things, but the thing that I see is it's, I suppose it would be considered a spirit of pride when you look at your own ability and knowing that my own ability isn't going to cut it, then I don't know what else is entering in besides that spirit. And, you know, that's what I want to be delivered of, whatever that, I think there is another spirit there involved, and I don't know whether it's fear of rejection or what it would be.
Yeah, could be a spirit
because
of rejection.
Because I know that, Slade had read, I don't know whether it was a word given to Belinda, I think last week, and I had gotten a word that very same morning that, you know, really kind of went along with that, and I was going to share it, but then I didn't. And, you know, I don't remember what her word was, but I think then we got a phone call of someone we'd been playing phone tag with, and so I never shared it. And I think I let condemnation come on me, and I don't know what else.
Yeah. Well, Gaynell, that when you do have condemnation come on you, that takes your faith out.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. So that could be it. It could be rejection. It could be any of those things. So let's just pray against it. Because I'm telling you what, it sounds like a positive prayer. A positive dream to me with all those words that you got. The Lord mm-hmm. is fixing to use y'all in a mighty way.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead.
When she shared that, I mean, the first thing I got was as far as, you know, the first thought I had was that the Father, you know, was as far as he wants the flesh dead, the self-life dead. And mm-hmm. The glass room I got as far as being transparent, and I was thinking fear of man or fear of what others think.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that.
So that I agree.
That's what I got when you shared that.
Yeah. I agree.
Today, when we got back home, I ran on to a little, excuse me, I ran on to a little card I had written up one time, and I don't know where I got this, but there was two words at the top, receptivity and attentiveness, and receptivity is opening my innermost being to be filled with God's abundant riches, and it's like, Gaynell, you have not done that. You know, he's offering these things to me, and instead of just receiving them, I'm doubting that I can carry it through. And it doesn't depend on me; it depends on him. And so, you know, basically, I'm almost it's as though telling him, "Well, but you can't do it in me," and that is a sin. That's almost like what that's saying to me. And then the other word was attentiveness. And after that, I had written, my gaze, my focus must be on my Lord Jesus Christ. My mind must be stayed on him. Through my attentiveness, he will give me his perfect peace. And that's really what, you know, what I'm seeking.
Anybody else got anything like that? Well, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you hear a guy, you know, she wants to be in that perfect will of yours, Lord. She wants to be in peace. She wants to have that peace in her heart and joy to know that she is in your will, Lord. And just Lord, because you've given us that authority, I'm going to take authority over that spirit of fear on her and the spirit of fear of man and command it to go in Jesus' name. Humble pride, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, and condemnation, you go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that Gaynold is, that you're placing that peace in her heart. You're placing that joy in her heart. And Father, we that assurance, Lord, that you're in control and that she doesn't have to worry about what she says because you're going to say it through her, Lord. And all she has to do is to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And Father, we just praise you for the work you're doing in her. And Lord, we thank you for the joy and the peace and the rest that you've placed in her right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that she has been delivered. And now that joy that you have for her, Lord, is already there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Father.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael.
Thanks.
Yes.
I'll just share. I had several dreams or a couple dreams where I was running from a tornado. And this was years ago, and I was like, you know, I was huffing and running as fast as I can to get away from this tornado. And I'd run into a building, and I'd run down the stairs into the basement, and I'd open up the door, and I would go out, and there was just a glass wall with the tornado right there about ready to strike. And the Lord showed me that I was trying to save my life, my self-life. You know, the storm was coming and, you know, I was in works trying to save myself life. And I had a couple dreams like this where I was running and I thought I was in a place of safety and I'd open up the door and there'd just be a glass wall there. And, you know, the spirit would grip me in that. And he was just trying to show me that I was in works and I was not giving up myself. I was not giving up my life to gain his life. And so it kind of reminded me of, you know, a little bit of what Gaynold got as far as that. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, that does speak to me. Really does. And I have felt that really was what he was saying, that I'm looking at my own ability and I need to not look at my ability. That ability is dead and gone and I need to count on his ability in me.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? All right. What about testimonies? Do we have anybody with a good testimony that speaks of the glory of God?
Michael?
Yes.
Jackie, I have a testimony.
Okay, Jackie, yeah, go ahead.
Last week, this kind of went along with what you were sharing last week, and I believe Michael Montana was sharing, and somebody else. But I've been having to use these crutches, and I was walking outside trying to just get some exercise, and the neighbor, who's semi-new, said something to me, and it was really offensive, and right away I thought, Lord, why is she saying this? And then right away I got really upset, like it was burning inside of me, and I didn't say anything back, and I didn't try to defend what she had said, and I just said something about, well, praise the Lord, I'm healing, or something like that, and, you know, and when I said praise the Lord, she really didn't know what to say, so I came inside, and I sat down, and I said, okay, Father, I know you're behind it, but, you know, why did you have her say something like this? Because it really hurts, and he knows I'm struggling. And so I just praised him for putting her on my path to take me to my cross. And I believe since going through the studies on rejection and fear of rejection and casting all that out, I believe it helped, and I truly believe I'm delivered because it left me. Like, I just prayed and, you know, I first asked my Father to forgive me for having thoughts of anger rise up inside of me, or feeling hurt or offended. And I repented of that, and then I asked him to put a love in my heart. And I've been praying for this woman, and I can't really say if she's saved or what her religion even is. I really don't know her much other than saying hi, and she doesn't speak much, you know, anything of God. And she was kind of taken like a shock whenever I said praise the Lord so easily. So I don't know if the Lord is just opening up a door, and I just praise him for that. But I just praise him that I am delivered from all of that, because then I was able to come in, and normally something like that, I would have said to my husband or somebody else, like, I would have repeated it and said, can you believe she said that? Or, you know, why did she say something so mean? And I think it was Tim when he was sharing about not to speak unless you have, like, the two witnesses. Like, if you repeat something somebody else says, like, when he gave the testimony about the gossip and stuff, that really touched my heart, and I keep that in my mind constantly. And so when I open my mouth, and I'm just speaking what the Lord wants me to speak, and I just praise him so much, because the feeling left me, like, it wasn't instant, but it was within an hour. I just kept praying, and instead of what the enemy wanted me to do was receive offense and then receive hatred and anger and retaliate. And what I did was I gave it to my Lord, and I just prayed, and I just prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed until the feeling let up. And within the hour, so that whole time I spent glorifying the Lord and thanking him and praising him, and the enemy didn't get any foothold on it. So then I thought back about when I did the study on rejection and the fear of rejection, and I believe I talked with you after that, Michael, to pray with you and David, and I truly believe I was delivered, and I just thank the Lord for that, because it's totally awesome that you don't have to receive anything from anybody, and you don't have to even put up with, even if it tries to linger on, you just take it to the Lord and give it to him and lay it at the foot of the cross and just receive his love and his grace and his mercy, and then just pray for the person, and it made a huge difference. It was just really awesome, and I'm still praying for her. That's my testimony. So thank you, Amen. Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And Father, learn experience.
That's an overcoming faith he's given you, isn't it?
Amen. It's awesome. Amen. It's really awesome, because then nobody can steal your peace. You know, like the enemy, I mean, the Lord uses the enemy to put people on our path, but you can stay in that most perfect peace. You know, you don't have to lose ground that you've conquered already, and I conquered that ground through Christ, and I wasn't giving it up, and I gave it to the Lord, and I didn't lose it, thank God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report?
I have to. I'm just going to confirm that with Jackie that what she says is true, because when that came against me with this guy coming at me and swearing and cursing, I mean, I had been listening to Milton Green, you know, from your suggestion, Michael, you know, a few months prior to all this happening. One of the things Milton said was, when you feel that spirit come on you and you want to have anger and bitterness and wrath or whatever is coming on you that to portray against somebody else, he said he just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want this. I choose to love him because this is what you want. And then, you know, he would choose in the name of Jesus not to let this come on him. He'd tell the Lord that, and I choose this is what you want to. And he'd go to his cross, and that's what helped me to understand how that works. Was I, well, even though I think something comes on you, you might temporarily feel those feelings, your flesh rising up. It does, you know, but it's just the opportunity, you know, for us to grow, and that was with me today, too. Because if we're not pressed, how do we, the Lord tests everybody, and that's how he's going to test us. And so I realized it was just a test, you know, even though you kind of go through it and you think, I hate this, that's what I want to go through it. But you get if you can catch it in time, which I was able to and realize it's a test, and I'm just going to do it to magnify the Lord, and I'm going to choose to love and not hate, you know, because I gave that to the Lord, and I also confirmed it with the Lord. Lord, I want to do your will. I want to love. I want to be like you, and I want you to give me that of what I'm missing, if I need anything. And so I'm just reconfirming. Again, I agree with you, Jackie. That's what we have to strive for. And if we catch it in time, we've got the victory. Even if we might feel those emotions coming up, as long as we don't let them come out, and we can repress it and not let it come out, and we have the victory.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, and it's easier the next time.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah.
No, I was just, when you shared that testimony at work, I was reading in How Shall We Die, and I was just going to read this little chapter because it just speaks to it. I know you know this, but this could be for somebody else. It says, the people around you are all gathered around you for a purpose. I'm talking about the wicked, whether it be the wicked in the so-called church or the wicked outside the church. It makes no difference. They have a predestined work of God to do on us in his crucifixion. We need to cooperate with them, the vessels of dishonor used of God to bring us to our cross, because no one is in your life by accident. The Bible says a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. And God worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Just know that no one in your life, as obnoxious as many of them are, without God having sent them and put them there for a purpose. So I just thought I'd share that because it spoke right to what was going on.
Absolutely. And I was thinking after some of the conversations here, you mentioned spirit of rejection. That was part of this. I think Jackie brought that up. And I thought, oh, I think that's maybe what I'm seeing out of this guy. Because I was trying to figure out where the spirit, what is it? And then, now I can, I recognize that being part of it. Because I know I had that too. And it's easy to get real defensive when you have that spirit. And you automatically just lash out. You're called porcupine Christian. And it's just from that spirit. So it's not like people want to live there, but they don't understand it. So at least that gave me some understanding too.
And that spirit takes correction. I mean, you were basically correcting him to tell him where he should be or what he should be doing. And that spirit just takes it and twists it as you just calling him an idiot or, you know, just it twists it as rejection. That you're coming against him, you hate him, you're rejecting him. And that's how that spirit works. So you're probably very right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming faith. All right, anybody else got a testimony or praise report?
I do.
All right, Emma, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to share. The other day I was leaving a restaurant with some friends, and I was boasting on the Lord. I was praising, telling them that I didn't use medicine. You know, I didn't use medicine anymore and that I didn't use Band-Aids anymore. And so, of course, that very night the enemy came against me, and I dropped a crock pot in my sink, and it somehow or another I cut just a big chunk out of my little finger, and it bled for about 30 minutes at least. I had just moved into my house, so I didn't have any of my Band-Aids or anything around, and I just wound, you know, paper towel trying to stop it bleeding, and I was like, I knew it was an attack of the enemy because I had just been boasting on the Lord, and I knew it was, you know, it's going to be a trial. So I just started praying. I was like, yeah, you know, that I believed in the Lord and that I trusted him to be my healer. But first thing that came into my mind is run over and see Belinda because she lives just across the way. So I ran over and got Belinda. She was in her pajamas. And so Missy was over there with her, and so they prayed over my finger, and Lexi was there. She prayed too, and now they ended up, you know, bandaging me up and sending me home. And so it's pretty deep, you know, it's pretty painful for a while, but probably in the natural I needed stitches. I just wanted to brag on the Lord, my fingers healed, that that top part of the skin, you know, the part that I cut off fell off, but underneath, a new finger just, you know, it just grew back. It never scabbed over. It never did anything like that. It just grew back like nothing had happened, you know. So I just praise the Lord that he is my healer, and I just thank him for that.
Amen. God is so good. He can replace part of your finger that you cut off. Praise
the Lord. Right.
Amen. Well, all right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I'll share something. Okay. This is something I heard on the radio today, but I had to run into the city, so I had like an hour trip there and an hour trip back, and usually I don't listen to Christian broadcasting or anything like that, but I was listening to the radio, and whatever program I was listening to, they're playing music and in between talking and stuff like that, and what they were talking about was answered prayer. And people were calling in and, you know, sharing testimonies. But it was really strange to me because the way the disc jockey or whatever was handling it, it was like an amazement that God is answering prayers. I mean, the twist on it was, it was sort of glorifying man more than God. But it was like this amazement that God actually still answers prayers. And I was like kind of taken back at that. But on the way home, he came on, somebody called in and said, yeah, I want to share, you know, something that God did. And so he talked about his 9-year-old daughter came home from school and said that, you know, a girl in her class was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And so they started, you know, praying. I guess he drives his daughter to school and picks her up afterwards, so they would pray on the way to school and pray on the way back. So they shared that, and he said, you know, we'll share the rest of the story after these songs, you know. And they went and played a couple songs, 2-3 songs, and, you know, I'm still driving. And they come on, and they, you know, they bring that back and, you know, share, you know, you can't wait to see what God does, and we'll tell you after these songs. And it was like, at that point, my flesh kind of flared up, I got to be honest. And I'm thinking, you know, they're using the glory of God. They're using this testimony to, you know, keep people listening to their program. And it was like, you know, I'm going through my head that I'm going to call these guys up. I'm going to write them a letter and all this stuff. And then finally I said, no. It's like, I just was like, okay, this is where we are today in the church. And I just have to forgive them and just go through it. Because I just saw that, you know, they were using it like a marketing, you know, technique or something like that. But then right when I drove in the driveway, because, I mean, I wouldn't have listened to the station anymore. But right when I drove in my driveway, they came back on and they shared, you know, the whole taped thing. And basically, after 2 weeks, his daughter prayed every morning and every night, you know, on the way home for this girl in her class. And she went in for an evaluation, and they took an X-ray, and there was nothing there. And the doctors couldn't explain it. So I thought that, you know, but they were just, I mean, to us, that is so common, but they were just making this big thing out of that. But then they were kind of praising this little girl more than they were giving the praise to God. And it was very strange to me, you know, as far as that. But I was just, you know, it was a neat testimony, but I just see where man, you know, just takes it and uses it and lifts people up on pedestals and gives the glory to man, and, you know, instead of to God. And I could really see why, you know, the Lord is really gonna, you know, needs to shake the church, you know, because they're just, it's twisted, it's deceived, you know. So I heard that today, and then I thought I'd share something else. Is last night in our prayer meeting, There's a lady there that had a friend visiting from California, and so she had asked, we were praying for a lot of different people and different things, and she had asked that she, I don't know if it was a niece or something like that, but they were in the hospital, and their five-month-old baby was having some, you know, very serious situations going on. So she asked us to pray. So we just kind of brought our faith together and prayed for this little, I think it was a five-month-old that was in the hospital and was having trouble breathing and stuff like that. And we got done praying and, you know, believing. And so this lady actually called back to California just to let her niece know that, Christians or family in Tennessee were, you know, praying for, you know, her daughter. And she's like, wow, you know, the strangest things happened, you know, just happened. She said, I was in the room and a nurse came in the room and she thought she was there to check her vitals or check her chart or something like that. And it turns out that the nurse just walked into the room, laid hands on the baby, prayed for her, then turned around and walked out. And it was like, you know, so her, I think it was her granddaughter is who they were praying for. But, you know, she was just amazed that while we're praying, this nurse came in, laid hands on this baby, you know, then just walked right out of the room. And her name was Pumi. I told Pumi, I said, you know, that was probably an angel that came in at that time while we were praying. And she was seeing it and she was like all excited as far as that. So I thought that was kind of a neat testimony.
Amen. She was really excited about her granddaughter being healed. Awesome. Okay. Anyone else? You know, as you were talking about the radio program, Tim, I don't know if I shared this with y'all last week or not, but no, I know I didn't. It didn't happen until Friday. But I took my wife back to the doctor Friday morning. What had happened a month ago, she couldn't swallow. She couldn't eat anything. She couldn't swallow.
Hey, Michael?
Anything. Yeah.
Mike, you're underwater right now.
Oh.
So, connection healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Am I all still right, underwater?
No, you sound good.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, about a month ago, she went to the doctor because of she couldn't swallow anything. She couldn't eat. Everything would kind of hang up in her throat. And they called it some kind of $18 word. I don't know what it was. But anyway, what had happened was her throat had closed up on her, had shrunk way down. They called it, you know, I don't know what the name they call that. But anyway, they gave her some pills or something to take, and then they put a balloon down her throat to enlarging it at that time, and then she was to come back last Friday and have that procedure done again with a bigger balloon in order to open up the throat. So we went there, and what they had told her at the time that she was there the first time, they said, the doctor made the comment, he said, I have never seen a throat that had so many lesions on it that was in such a terrible shape as hers was. And of course, that was the first thing, you know, that was what she really wanted to hear. Anyway, so coming back to Friday, we went up there and we had prayed. I prayed with her. I know I'm just meeting her at her faith, where her faith is, and her faith right now is in the doctors. And so we prayed and up there. And when she got up there, the doctor went in there and did the procedure and came out and told us, he said, You know, I'm amazed at how healed up your throat has become in this little time. And Jeanette, to her credit, she said, well, that's because I've been praying. And she said, I've been praying every day for my throat. And the doctor said, well, yeah, that and the, he named the drug that he had been giving her. That's what got your throat fixed. She said, no, it was prayer. So, and that was a huge step for my wife. She's in the past had a little bit of trouble with faith that God would heal. So just thought I'd throw that out there a little bit. The doctors wanted to give the credit to the drug. Jeanette wasn't going to have none of it. All right, anybody else? Tim, can y'all still hear me?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay, good. Anyone else?
I just wanted to say thanks for sharing that, Michael. That's really encouraging. That was a really huge step for her. Praise the Lord.
Amen. It is.
Michael, I'll share something.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, just real quick, this just happened today. I thought it was kind of funny, but somebody I've been working with called me up today, and he said that he had injured his knee over the weekend. And this guy's he's from the north. He's from, I think, Boston or something. He's a Catholic, and at least that's what he says he is. And so he's telling me that he can't walk on it, and he's got it elevated, and it's swollen, and all this stuff. And so I finished what I needed to talk to him with, and then I said to him, I says, you know what? I said, why don't you let me pray for your knee? And he was like, oh, no, it's okay, it's going to be okay. And he just got this whole defensive thing, and all I asked is let me pray for your knee. And it was like he's backpedaling, trying to get out of this conversation, you know, and it was like, I just started praying. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just speak to that knee, and I just start praying. And he just went silent, you know, and I got done praying, and he was just kind of like really timid. And I mean, this guy's calling himself a Christian, you know, he's like, he got real timid. He's like, thank you, you know. But it was so funny. He was just backpedaling. He did not want me to pray for him. And it was like, so I just prayed anyways. And it was hilarious.
Well, awesome. Maybe God will show him something.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Well, let me pray for him right now. So Father, I just lift up Matt to you right now, Lord. And I just see the fear of prayer. And I just bind up that religious spirit. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you just shake him, that you just give him a repentant mind, Lord. Just take the blinders off his eyes and his ears. And, Father, we pray for his salvation, Lord, that you will just show him a miracle with his knee, Lord, and that he will know it's from you. And give you the glory. So, Father, we just thank you for bringing him into the kingdom, and that he will open his eyes to the apostasy that he's been under. And we thank you for granting him repentance and a changed mind and the hunger for truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, somebody else was trying to get in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was me. Last week, my toe got infected. I get that from time to time with the diabetes. Anyways, I the last time it was infected before this last the time before, God healed it after a couple of days of praying, and I think I asked God for prayer, and God healed it after a couple of days. But this last time I was infected, you know, I was saying, well, I'm not going to be able to go to the doctor. And then, anyways, God healed it overnight. And it amazed me because I'm not used to God healing without pushing and pushing and thinking like I got to do a work to get it healed, you know. And I think that's probably been hindering my healings more than anything. But he healed it just like that. It was healed in the morning when I woke up. There was no pain, no puffiness, no red. It was all totally healed, and I thank God for that. I know God is showing me more on living the life of faith, and I want to thank Him. And my wife is struggling right now with a tooth that was the nerve is showing. I don't know what to do with that, but we prayed and the pain stopped, but the problem's still there. We don't know exactly what we should do concerning her tooth.
Oh, okay. Well, we pray. That's what we do. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command the tooth to be back to normal. We thank you, Lord, for taking the pain out, Lord, and we just praise you for healing that tooth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Father. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Wade, do y'all keep any extra crawfish up there that you could send us?
We just had crawfish the other day.
Oh, so, man. Hush your mouth.
We don't keep much.
David and I both love crawfish, and you can't get it up here in East Tennessee. But anyway, praise God for Jeanette's healing. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, Michael, what's that other, that stew thing, toothpay or something? Etouffee. That's pretty amazing, too.
Etouffee, yeah.
So you could set some of that up, too.
Well, I can make it.
It won't get past my door. If it comes in, it's not going out.
Amen. I don't blame you there, anyway.
Would you mute me, please?
Hey, what, Wayne?
I need to be muted after.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report?
Yeah, Michael?
Yes, Judy?
Yeah. Well, I have a praise report. My passenger side window would go down, but it wouldn't go up. So I've been praying that it was healed and that it would, it's okay, but I accidentally put it down and I got it almost up. I kept saying, "You're healed." So go up a little bit more. And I said, "You're healed." Go up a little bit more. Finally, it was just about maybe an inch from the top. But Tim said to bring it over and he'd look at it. So I took it over there the other day and he looked at it and he said, "Well, that was an easy fix." I was praying that it would be an easy fix for him because I didn't want him to have to work on it a long time. And Trish and I were talking and stuff. And then he checked something else, but he left the car on for a long time or something, and the battery went dead. So then he said, "Well, I just got to jump it." So, but then he couldn't get the hood up, and it was jammed. I'm not really sure exactly what happened on the hood, but he worked and worked, and we prayed, and he worked. But in the meantime, Trish and I were talking, and I was having a great time. We were talking, and she was talking to me, and we were talking about some things that I had on my mind, and so I got some things out, and it was just really awesome that we were talking. But then it seemed like then all of a sudden he was able to get it open, and he fixed everything. I mean, just fixed everything, fixed that, and the car was just fine. And we got it all done in time for the fellowship on Monday night. So I praise the Lord that I was able to talk to Trish and that he was able to fix the car, and everything was just, great, because I might have maybe gone down the road and something happened and I needed to get that put up for just some reason, and then I'd really been a bind, if that could get up. So I praise the Lord that's all fixed and everything's great. So thank you, Father, for that.
Amen. Tim, was that a flesh eater?
Yeah, that wasn't that wasn't Judy's trial. That was my trial.
Oh, oh. It wasn't really a trial for me because I was having fun talking to Trish, but I felt bad for you. Did you have to work so hard?
That's what he said. It's a trial for him.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I saw it, and the window was riding on the wrong side of the gasket. It was riding on the outside. So I had to take the window out and then reinstall it, and it just went as smooth as could be. It was just, I mean, it was. I had it done in less than a half hour, and I ended up. I wanted to. It wasn't sliding well inside the rubber, you know. So I went around and I lubricated all the other windows, and I was, you know, rolling them up and down while I was lubricating them. Then I went to start the car and it wouldn't start, and then I went to pop the hood and it wouldn't release. And it was totally jammed, and I had to take, and I'm working from the outside trying to get the hood up, and I had to take the front grill off, and I had my hands all in there, and they're getting all scratched up, and I kept running in trying to see YouTube videos of how to open a hood, you know, that's locked. And I finally, I mean, it took me probably 2 hours to do the hood, and the window went in a half hour, but it was just, it was a trial of my flesh. And at one point, I was just about ready to give up and say, just call a tow truck, you know? And finally, I just prayed, and the Lord just kind of guided me through it. And, you know, once I got it open, I mean, it was totally locked on there. It just wasn't moving, anything like that. So I was able to get it off and free it up and re-lubricate it. But it was definitely my trial, you know, as far as that, so.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for those trials. All right, anyone else?
Amen.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon.
Yeah, I don't have a praise report, but I'd like you to pray for me. We laid out some irrigation pipe the other day, and I straightened my back and my hip and goes down my leg to my ankle. I'd just like for you to pray for me.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus, right now, we come against that pain, those stretched muscles, strained back. In Jesus' name, we command them to be healed. In Jesus' name, we command the leg to be healed. We command all the muscles and ligaments and everything attached to them to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Marlon is healed. Pain, you go right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that Marlon is completely healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet and back up again. Thank you, Lord. You're so awesome. Lord, you told us that you bore all that on the cross for us. We don't have to put up with it. And we thank you, Lord, that Marlon is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. You believe that, Marlon?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Lord.
I do too, brother. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Well, all right. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share that the Lord has given you?
Yeah, Michael, I'll share for a bit if it works.
All right.
I just wanted, it's kind of confirming to me to hear everybody share tonight a bit, because this is a testing time. And of a truth, the Lord is digging deep. I think all of us have found situations where something has stretched us and brought something out of a response out of our spirit or our soul that we have not been pleased with, or our flesh. And it's like it says in the scripture, I don't think he's when he says it's the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I think that he's not talking about some hearts, he's talking about the heart of man. And the only really good man is a dead man. And God's answer for our self-life and for our life is death. But that's a many-layered onion, that the self-life. It has so many. It's like taking a piece of, I don't know if you guys have crabgrass or quackgrass, but you could take a little scrap of it, stick it in the ground, it'll grow again. And our self-life is kind of like that sometimes. From what I've observed, our self-life is very prolific. But I was thinking of this scripture today, several scriptures, but one of them is in Deuteronomy 8, when he says, everyone's familiar with the scripture, but thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, and to prove you and to see what was in your heart. He humbled you, suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers know, to make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is a time we're getting ready for a wilderness experience, and some of us are there. But the wilderness experience is to reveal what's really there, to humble us, to bring us to a place of humility, to prove us and to see what's really in our hearts. And I'm seeing left and right around me, and I'm probably you are all too, seeing hearts that are being revealed, and it's not a very pleasant thing what you're seeing, brothers that once walked in a way that you believed they were right in there, and now they're not in the race, or they're on some tangent or some deception somewhere. But hearts are being revealed, and this is a time. One brother said, I've got a formula for these end days, and I'm going to give it to you. He says, crisis reveals, and absolute crisis absolutely reveals. The shaking that's coming, you know, the vehement testing that comes to the house on the rock and the house in the sand, that they both have in common, that they will be vehemently tested. But this is a shaking where the Lord says, yet I shake once more, not the earth only, but the heavens. This is a complete shaking, and with it comes a complete revealing. Everything that's there will be made manifest. But I'm encouraged with the fact that God is very redemptive in that. Even Bill Britton said years ago, he said, the very waters and showers of blessing that come to a garden also germinate the weed seed that lies dormant in the soil. But it has to be grow or come up so it can be dealt with. And things start, we see things revealed in our hearts and go, where did that come from? I've been shocked at times, you know. Just something pushed me too far, and all of a sudden, out comes something, and I go, man, Lord God, where did that come from? That's awful, you know, and find out that it's really there. But this is the time, the wilderness, he suffers you to hunger and to thirst. I think of that scripture in Psalm 131. It says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor are mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have quieted and behaved myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is as a weaned child. Most of you ladies out there know more about it than anyone, but the weaning of a child, if you'll put up with the process and do it right, there's a season where it seems like your beloved little baby is going to scream his heart out and your heart breaks for it. But you can't be brought into tyranny by a little child that rules a mother or rules a father. There has to be a point where they say, little guy, we're sorry about this, but you're going to learn to sleep in the night. We're not going to get up for you every time you whimper. So they let him cry, and they let him cry. And finally, there's a weaning that takes place. And he says, my soul is as a weaned child. God wants to bring us to a place of the weaning of our souls, where we're not moved anymore with what our emotions are saying. We're not moved anymore with what circumstances are saying. We're not moved anymore with ups or downs, or whether we're liked or disliked, hated or loved. It's irrelevant, because Jesus promised us that if you were of this world, the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I've called you out of the world. You'll be hated by this world. That's our promise. And it's interesting that the Lord Jesus, he says, when it says, and he was in Isaiah 53, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Who is cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people? Was he stricken? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. And it says, but it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And, you know, the Lord is not squeamish about bruising our flesh, bruising our self-life, bruising that which needs to die, that which needs to go to the cross. God is not squeamish, and he will bring you into circumstances. And I don't believe that, you know, it's just like what some of the sisters were sharing there, that it's, you know, the hard dealings that are coming. Sometimes the enemy, the Lord will allow the enemy to hammer on you a little bit just to reveal the responses of your own heart. And But the process, what God is trying to bring us to, is the death of our own self-life. It's, Paul says, we are not sufficient of ourselves. This is in 2 Corinthians 3. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. That statement right there, you know what real humility is when he says, I think we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. We don't think anything of ourselves. That's an amazing statement. He says, but our sufficiency is of God. And then he says, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit? For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was so glorious that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the spirit be rather glorious? And if the ministration of the condemnation be glory, shall not the ministration of righteousness exceed that glory? But the prerequisite for that kind of a manifestation was, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. The breaking, this wilderness process, what God's after, I really believe with all of us. We hear the old-time saints used to talk a lot about brokenness. You know, God has, one brother wrote in a book, he says, God has all kinds of men. You know, he's got great men, strong men, great preachers, great everything, but broken men, not too many. And a broken man, you know, is a person who thinks nothing of himself. He doesn't lean on his own strength. He's been broken from that. He's taken from a place where he will dare not trust in himself. Paul said this. He says, I labor more abundantly than all of you. And then he says, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. That's the only labor, that's the only expression that's really going to have any eternal measure whatsoever, is when it's not sweat equity. Remember, the priests were not allowed to wear woolen garments because the Lord said, I will have nothing in the ministry that causes sweat. He doesn't want sweat. There's something about, he that's entered into the rest of God has ceased from his own works as God did from his. That's the Sabbath. There may be, you may have a conviction to take a day a week and have a natural Sabbath too. But I'll tell you what, the real Sabbath is when you ceased from your own works. That's what God's after in this wilderness experience. He's breaking us. I've been in experience myself lately where that God is stripping me of my self-sufficiency, and I'm finding out more and more just how much I've leaned on so many things of self-sufficiency, how much that's been there. You know, I can do this. I can preach. I can. You know what? In the last week, I'd be lucky to walk and chew gum at the same time. I shouldn't say lucky, but I'd be blessed to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. I haven't been able to. You know, I read the scripture and I memorize portions and such. But sometimes it reads like the New York Times. I mean, it's just, and I have to, and I'm not going by emotions. But God can strip, and I believe He allows these seasons in our lives. You look at a tree out here. I see all kinds of them in my front yard, and there is a season that comes where the sap stops flowing, the leaves, all the external growth falls off, and there's no more warm breeze, no warm sunshine, no more water, but icy cold, and a season of death, a type of death, and then there comes again the day when it starts to break, and the Chinook winds come and melt the snow, and there begins to be warmth come back to the soil, and the sunshine comes again, and the sap comes, and the life comes back in the tree, and a new season of growth, and a new season. But God is going to strip from us all of our self-sufficiency, everything that we trust in ourselves. He's going to strip from us that thing that wants to be seen and known of men, to be somebody, to be... This whole world runs on that. The church system runs on that. Just to be somebody, to have somebody give you approval. We need our approval from God. We need our approval from the Heavenly Father. And that's the only honor we need to seek. We need to be. We know that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 that he said that God's strength is perfected in our weakness. That's what God is after. He's going to bring us to a place of weakness so that he can be strong in us. If you want resurrection life, It's going to come out of the death of yours truly. There'll be no resurrection as long as that other thing is still alive. God is going to bring us to a place, and to the measure that we've yielded to the process of the cross, it says we are crucified with him and then raised with him in newness of life. There's no raising again from the dead until there's a death that takes place, until something dies of our nature. And the more that that thing is more, you know, Paul says in there, if we live after the flesh, in Romans 8, he says, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we follow the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led of the Spirit, these are the sons of God. What is the Spirit leading us? Where is he leading? He's leading us to the mortification of our old nature. He's leading us so that our self-life will not rule. We will not be sufficient in ourselves. I cannot but help but bring again. I've spoken this 100 times. It doesn't matter. This is one of the most important lessons in all of the Scripture, that the Lord Jesus, our most capable human being in the universe, at 12 years old, could confound the doctors and lawyers at the temple with the wisdom that he had already from God, and yet to turn and say, I do nothing of myself. The words I speak, they're not my own. The Father works. They're the two words. Can we say that if the Lord Jesus could do nothing of himself, what on God's green earth do we think that we're going to do of ourselves? We need to be in such a place. You know, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are branches. Every branch that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. But if a branch does not abide in me, it's withered, and the men do gather them and they're cast in the fire. What are the men that gather? I believe it's religious leaders all over the world are the men that gather that which will not abide, that will ultimately be cast in the fire. But brethren, if you abide, he will prune you, he will clip you back. I have a friend that has a vineyard in California, and I watched him. He says, I'm going to take you out and show you a little lesson on John 15. I was appalled what he did to that poor grapevine. I tell you what, there wasn't enough left. He could call it stuff when he got done. There was nothing left. But that was what it took for the new life to come forth. And we don't want our life spent on boughs and branches of stuff that aren't going to bring forth fruit. God wants to prune us back. He says, everything that abides, and that which brings forth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. But Jesus made it clear when he said, without me, you can do nothing. And brethren, there's a breaking that's taking place right now. And God is going to, the thing that you think you've got, it's going to have to come to death. It has to be poured out again, just like that scripture where we said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. But brothers, he emptied himself. There needs to be a continual emptying taking place. When God does something in your life, when God gives you something, when God uses you, quickly, take it where it belongs. Get before the Lord. Don't go in the limelight. Go in the closet and say, Father, of a truth, Lord God, without you I can do nothing. What do I have that I didn't first receive from you? And Lord, why would I glory as though I received it not? To you, Lord, belongs the glory for using this vessel in any way that you used me. I have nothing of myself. Keeping things in perspective. If God gets the glory, he'll continue to pour. That chain won't be broken, and he will continue to flow through you. But if he doesn't receive the glory, it'll dam up. And a man that takes glory into himself is taking something that's going to burn a hole in his soul. We can't touch that thing. We need to be dependent. The Lord Jesus went out day. He would go out. The God manifested the flesh. He goes out and spends all night in prayer to the Father. How can we do without being in that abiding and that dependent place as the Lord Jesus was? What are we going to have? What are we going to add to this picture? We need to be certain that God gets the glory for everything that happens in our life. Jesus said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to the stature, or turn one hair black or night? black or white. We can't turn a hair black or white in our own strength. We can't. We are certainly not going to build this eternal kingdom. We are but vessels. We need to get that straight right now. He says we carry this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why it's in an earthen vessel. Paul says in there, now you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are even called. But God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise, the weak things to confound the strong, the things which are despised, and the things which are nothing. Has God chosen to bring to naught the things that are, so that the flesh will not glory in his presence? But now Christ Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. God is going to take the day. There's a day coming. We talk about this day all through the scripture. The day cometh. The day cometh. That's a day when this prophesied so many things about that day. But to prepare the coming of the Lord, he says, every valley is going to be exalted, and every mountain made low. The crooked made straight. The rough places plain. To prepare the Lord. You look in, I think it's Isaiah 2, when he says, enter into the rock and hide in the dust for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. For the lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. I won't go through that whole scripture. Read it, but read it, in second chapter of Isaiah to get a perspective. But another place he says in there, when he gets done speaking of the day of the Lord and the terrible day, he says, and I will bring distress upon men. They shall walk as blind men because they've sinned against their Lord. The Lord, their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as dung. And he says, neither shall their silver and gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. For the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, and he will make his speedy riddance of all that live in it. And then he says, before the decree goes forth, this is in Zephaniah, before the decree goes forth, before the day passes chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, seek the Lord, ye meek of the earth, of all his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. Perchance you'll be hidden in the day of his wrath. Again and again, throughout all of the scriptures of the day of the Lord, it's everything that's high and lifted up, all the strong will be crushed and brought low. Mighty men will weep bitterly in that day. The Lord is going to humble. When it actually says the heavens and the earth are going to depart from him. When he manifests his glory in this last time, the heavens and earth are going to depart from him. The holy only, it says, God alone will be exalted in that day. Brothers, that's where we're headed. May we get out of the way. May we yield to the process of this cross. May we embrace that destruction of our self-life so that the resurrection life of Jesus Christ can be made manifest. May we seek to take honor unto himself so his honor can be seen and manifest through us. May we be in a place where the strength of God is perfected in our weakness, where our sufficiency has been destroyed, our self-sufficiency, our strength, all of our self-life that has so many hidden aspects in it, that it can all be brought to the process of death so that the resurrection life of Jesus can be manifest in us. He says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. First the natural, then the spiritual. When he says in there, to every seed his own body, he says he has given to every seed his own body. That God is if we want to see that spiritual life come forth, it's in the planting of our natural life. And out of it will come a resurrection life. It comes the life of Jesus manifested, that resurrection that we desire, that we talk about, that we have in our theological position, that will be made manifest in the death of yours truly. And brothers and sisters, when we really see things in perspective, Paul, he says, in the scriptures, he takes pleasure in distress, reproach, necessity, persecution, for when I'm weak, Christ is strong. That's he got to a place where he began to see the correlation between the death of his own and the suffering of his own nature and the resurrection life to where he began to embrace it. He began to side with God against his own nature. And that's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. Because don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that is to please you, because it pleased the Lord to bruise the Lord Jesus. And no offense, it pleases him to bruise you too. And I'm not talking, but he wants to see life, not yours, but his, manifest in you. You are the vessel. He is the treasure. And when God gets done with this process, to those that will endure the process, not everybody will. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. There's a lot of ifs in the scripture, greatest Bible study, and there is. Look up the word if in the New Testament, do a study on if, because all the promises of God have conditions. If we continue, and if we hold our this beginning of our confidence steadfast unto thee, and if we be dead with him, then we live with him. If we suffer with him, then we reign with him. There's all kinds of ifs in the New Testament. But brothers and sisters, this process, God wants a life manifested, and he will have a life manifested. And I want to be a part of that process. I want to see it manifest in this vessel, not just enough to read about it and what used to happen in some of these great men of God. God wants to manifest and will manifest a glory in this hour that's never been seen before. And but I think with that comes a greater breaking that's necessary until there's what we can say with Paul. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Anybody got any comments?
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
I could totally relate to the flesh being like weaning a child. You know, the flesh just, you know, cries and whines and you know, wants what it wants, and it'll eventually fall asleep, but when it wakes up, it cries and whines and wants what it wants, you know, and if we allow it, it grows up and it becomes a spoiled little brat that not only cries and whines but speaks to us and manipulates and throws tantrums and kicks and screams and does everything to get its way. And when Michael shared that, it was like, yeah, man, that's that flesh, you know. And you just gotta let it die. And you know, but it just wants its way. So that was it definitely spoke to me.
Amen. Me too. It did. That flesh ain't going to heaven, folks. You might as well get rid of it. It's hard a lot of times, but after you get through it, it's not that hard. Okay, anybody else? Got anything that they'd like to share? Nobody got anything they'd like to share? I'd like to share a little bit. I'm just that kind of guy. You know, I've been thinking a lot lately about our prayer time and how we pray, and some of us maybe not don't even know how to pray, and what's the procedures to go and pray. You know, those type of questions come around a lot, and I ran across a thing here that I'm not going to tell you where it's from. I'm just going to Lord, teach me to pray. Pray to the Father which is in secret, or alone with God. But thou, this is Matthew 6, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall recompense thee. I want everybody to focus in on what we're talking about here, because I believe it's going to help you in your prayer time. And I may continue this on future times in conference call as time allows. But I think it's necessary in the times that we're in to learn from the Father, from Jesus also, from Jesus that taught us how to pray in the Word. And this is pretty interesting to me, and it's spirit-led. I've studied it. I believe it'll help you. After Jesus had called his first disciples, he gave them their first public teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. He there expounded to them the kingdom of God, its laws, and its life. In that kingdom, God is not only king, but father. He not only gives all, but is himself all. In the knowledge and fellowship of him alone is its blessedness. Hence it came as a matter of course that the revelation of prayer and the prayer life was a part of his teaching concerning the new kingdom that he came to set up. Moses gave neither command nor regulation with regard to prayer. Even somebody's not muted there. I keep hearing some stuff here. Please mute your phone. Even the prophets say little directly of the duty of prayer. It is Christ who teaches to pray. And the first thing the Lord teaches his disciples is that they must have a secret place for prayer. Everyone must have some solitary spot where he can be alone with his God. Every teacher must have a schoolroom. We have learned to know and accept Jesus as our only teacher in the school of prayer. He's already taught us at Samaria that worship is no longer confined to times and places. That worship, spiritual true worship, is a thing of the spirit and the life. The whole man must in his whole life be worship in spirit and in truth. And yet he wants each one to choose for himself the fixed spot where he can daily meet him. That inner chamber, that solitary place, is Jesus' schoolroom. And that spot may be anywhere. That spot may change from day to day if we have to change our abode. But that secret place there must be with the quiet time in which the pupil places himself in the master's presence, to be by him, prepared to worship the Father. There alone, but there most surely, Jesus comes to teach us to pray. A teacher is always anxious that his schoolroom should be bright and attractive, filled with the light and air of heaven, a place where pupils long to come and love to stay. In his first words on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus seeks to set the inner chamber before us in its most attractive light. And if we listen carefully, we soon notice what the chief thing is he has to tell us of our tarrying there. Three times he uses the name of Father. Pray to thy Father. Thy Father shall recompense thee. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of. The first thing in closet prayer is, I must meet my Father. The light that shines in the closet must be the light of the Father's countenance. The fresh air from heaven with which Jesus would have it filled, the atmosphere in which I am to breathe and pray, is God's Father love, God's infinite fatherliness. Thus, each thought or petition we breathe out will be simple, hearty, childlike trust in the Father. And this is how the Master teaches us to pray. He brings us into the Father's living presence. And what we pray there must avail. Let us listen carefully to hear what the Lord has to say to us. First, pray to thy Father which is in secret. God is a God who hides himself to the carnal eye. As long as in our worship of God we are chiefly occupied with our own thoughts and exercises, we shall not meet him who is the Spirit, the unseen one. But to the man who withdraws himself from all that is of the world and man, and prepares to wait upon God alone, the Father will reveal himself. As he forsakes and gives up and shuts out the world and the life of the world and surrenders himself to be led of Christ into the secret of God's presence, the light of the Father's love will rise upon him. The secrecy of the inner chamber and closed door, the entire separation from all around us, is an image of and so a help to that inner spiritual sanctuary, the secret of God's tabernacle within the veil, where our spirit truly comes into contact with the invisible one. And so we are taught at the very outset of our search after the secret of effectual prayer to remember that it is in the inner chamber where we are alone with the Father that we shall learn to pray right. The Father is in secret. In these words, Jesus teaches us where he is waiting us, where he is always to be found. Christians often complain that private prayer is not what it should be. They feel weak and sinful. The heart is cold and dark. It is as if they have so little to pray, in that little no faith, in that they have little or no faith or joy. They are discouraged and kept from prayer by the thought that they cannot come to the Father as they ought or as they wish. Child of God, listen to your teacher. He tells you that when you go to private prayer, your fault, your first thought must be, the Father is in secret. The Father waits me there. Just because your heart is cold and prayerless, get you into the presence of the loving Father. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth you. Do not be thinking of how little you have to bring God, but how much he wants to give you. Just place yourself before and look up into his face. Think of his love, his wonderful, tender, pitying love. And just tell him how sinful and cold and dark all is. It is the Father's loving heart. Give light and warmth to yours. Oh, do what Jesus says. Just shut the door and pray to thy Father which is in secret. Is it not wonderful to be able to go alone with God, the infinite God, and then to look up and say, my Father. And he continues on. He says, and thy Father which seeth in secret will recompense thee. Here Jesus assures us that secret prayer cannot be fruitless. Its blessing will show itself in our life. We have but a secret alone with God to entrust our life before men to him. He will reward us openly. He will see to it that the answer to prayer be made manifest in his blessing upon us. Our Lord would thus teach us that as infinite fatherliness and faithfulness is that with which God meets us in secret. So on our part, there should be the childlike simplicity of faith, the confidence that our prayer does bring down a blessing. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Not on the strong or the fervent feeling with which I pray does the blessing of the closet depend, but upon the love and the power of the Father to whom I there entrust my needs. And therefore, the Master has but one desire. Remember your Father is and sees and hears in secret. Go there and stay there and go again from there in the confidence. He will recompense. Trust him for it. Depend upon him. Prayer to the Father cannot be vain. He will reward you openly. Still further, to confirm this faith in the Father love of God, Christ speaks a third word. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Well, at first sight, it might appear as if this thought made prayer less needful. God knows far better than we what we need. But as we get a deeper insight into what prayer really is, this truth will help much to strengthen our faith. It will teach us that we do not need, as the heathen with the multitude and urgency of our words, to compel an unwilling God to listen to us. It will lead to a holy thoughtfulness and silence in prayer as it suggests the question, does my Father really know that I need this? It will, when once we have been led by the Spirit to the certainty that our request is indeed something that, according to the Word, we do need for God's glory, give us wonderful confidence to say, my Father knows I need it and must have it. And if there be any delay in the answer, it will teach us in quiet perseverance to hold on. Father, thou knowest I need it. Oh, the blessed liberty and simplicity of a child that Christ our teacher would fain cultivate in us as we draw near to God. Let us look up to the Father until his Spirit works in us. Let us sometimes, in our prayers, when we are in danger of being so occupied with our fervent, urgent petitions as to forget that the Father knows and hears, let us hold still and just quietly say, my Father sees, my Father hears, my Father knows. It will help our faith to take the answer. We know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. And now, all ye who have anew entered the school of Christ to be taught to pray, take these lessons, practice them, and trust him to perfect you in them. Dwell much in the inner chamber with the door shut, shut in from men, shut up with God. It is there the Father waits you. It is there Jesus will teach you to pray. To be alone in secret with the Father, this be your highest joy. To be assured that the Father will openly reward the secret prayer so that it cannot remain unblessed. This be your strength day by day. And to know that the Father knows that you need what you ask. This be your liberty to bring every need in the assurance that your God will supply it according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. Blessed Savior, with my whole heart I do bless thee for the appointment of the inner chamber as the school where thou meetest each of thy pupils alone and revealest to him the Father. O my Lord, strengthen my faith. So in the Father's tender love and kindness, that as often as I feel sinful or troubled, the first instinctive thought may be to go where I know the Father waits me and where prayer can never go unblessed. Let the thought that he knows my need before I ask, bring me in great restfulness of faith to trust that he will give what his child requires. Oh, let the place of secret prayer become to me the most beloved spot of earth. And Lord, hear me as I pray that thou wouldest everywhere bless the closets of thy believing people. Let thy wonderful revelation of a Father's tenderness free all young Christians from every thought of secret prayer as a duty or a burden, and lead them to regard it as the highest privilege of their life, a joy and a blessing. Bring back all who are discouraged because they cannot find aught to bring thee in prayer. Oh, give them to understand that they have only to come with their emptiness to him who has all to give and delights to do it. Not what they have to bring the Father, but what the Father waits to give them, be their one thought. And bless especially the inner chamber of all thy servants who are working for thee as the place where God's truth and God's grace is revealed to them, where they are daily anointed with fresh oil, where their strength is renewed, and the blessings are received in faith with which they are to bless their fellow men. Lord, draw us all in the closet nearer to thyself and the Father. Amen. Praise God. That's right, folks. Get in that inner chamber with God. That's that place of safety. Amen. Any comment?
Michael?
Yes.
I was just thinking, this is some food for thought, but I've learned to practice loving people. And, we have to be like Jesus anyway. And forgiveness is a basic, you know. And so many years ago, I decided I was going to love people before I was attacked. And when I was attacked, I would think, I would count it all joy that I was counted worthy to be attacked. It helped my attitude about it, because it's a test to help us grow up. And so I just started practicing it that way, and you get to a point where you're just not offended anymore, because you've learned to ride the storms, and you know that if you are attacked, God's allowing it for us to grow up, and it's a gift from God, actually, and so it helps you from getting mad and holding grudges. So I just kind of wanted to put that in there. It's helped me, because it's a basic that we all have to do, and it's a way of life. Jesus had to deal with it all the time, and we can do it too in Christ. So I just wanted to add that.
All right. Amen. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add to the prayer life? I know everybody gets in that inner chamber every day and seeks the Lord for that revelation or that hidden manna that he has for us. That's what he requires of us. He wants us to do that. And I'll tell you what, it's a blessing to do that, to get in there and allow the Lord to work in your life. It is an absolute blessing.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
I've shared before, I mean, as far as when I get up in the morning and I just try to get into my prayer closet, and I just get quiet with the Lord and tell the Father good morning, and I'm just really seeking to be in the rest and stay in the rest. And I can tell if I'm troubled, or if I'm getting bombarded in my thoughts or that, but if I can sit there and just, focus on the Lord and just not have any other thoughts in my head, that's where I'm trying to be. That's where I'm trying to stay, and just, kind of press in. And then, the Lord will show me, who I need to pray for, what I need to pray for, what I need to repent for, or that. And it's just, I've been really trying to start my day like that. It doesn't happen all the time. I mean, the enemy is constantly, the phone, I could get a text or a call or say, I've learned not to even open up my computer. I'll go and check my emails, and next thing I'm going down another path. So I try to really just press into the Lord first, and maybe get into the Word or, into Bible study or something like that. But I was talking to another brother the other day, and it was, we were talking about praying in the Spirit, and, he was saying, you ever notice after you just prayed, just in the Spirit for 20 or 30 minutes, how something just breaks in the Spirit? And I confirmed that, I've noticed that a few times, where just something, or you'll just kind of go into another tongue or something like that. But I've noticed where the flesh is constantly trying to bring distractions in the mind and get you out of, there's been many times when I'm just doing mundane things, just, cleaning the garage or cutting the grass or whatever it is. And I'll say, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit the whole time, just for an hour or two, and just pray in the Spirit. And next thing I'm not praying in the Spirit. I catch myself, and I start praying in the Spirit. And then a few minutes, 10 minutes later, I catch myself again. My thoughts are distracted, and I'm just constantly trying to, just kind of get pressed into God and get focused in on God. But your flesh is such an enemy, and it constantly is trying to distract you and get you out of the Spirit and get you back into the flesh. And I just see where it's such a battle where I just, you know, you're just trying to press in and the flesh is always bringing distractions. And so we were just, I was talking with another brother the other night and I was just really seeing how, you know, the flesh does not want you praying like that. And it does whatever it can to distract you. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up about praying in the Spirit. I've done that. I generally, the Lord wakes me up about 3 o'clock in the morning at times, and I would start praying in the Spirit. And when I pray, I like to walk around. I just the way I do it and pray. And then after about that 30-minute mark or somewhere in that neighborhood, you know, like you said, there's something in the spirit realm that breaks, and the Lord will place in my heart who to pray for, what to pray for, how to pray for it. It's just amazing how, you know, when you get done, you say, boy, that was awesome. And you might be there for an hour and a half after that praying for people that the Lord places in your heart, or situations or circumstances, whatever it is. And it's just awesome how God uses us when we do get into that inner chamber and allow him to do that work. And, you know, getting in there first and just listening to him and listening to him is also a good way to start it out. Listening for God's voice and seeing what he has to say to you before you start in with your requests and stuff. Or, you know, ever how the Lord leads you to do it. But get in there. That's good, Tim. Thanks.
And Michael?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was quite blessed by your sharing about the prayer closet. And my prayer closet's a big mess. And so I just this evening rearranged all the wires in my computer and vacuumed under there. And so it's a start. I can get things into shape for a prayer closet. And I probably couldn't have got that far, but I've been trying to dabble in the fasting, and it's been helping quite a bit. And so I'm going to continue that, but just, you know, I can't do a whole lot. I tend to get pretty wobbly and foggy. So, but my mind's clearing up, and I'm getting more awake and perceptive. So I'm blessed in all regards there. Thanks for sharing on prayer closet.
Amen. All right, we got a little bit of time left, a couple of minutes left. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share or like to be prayed for? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for that, for teaching us how to pray, teaching us, Lord, that it's necessary for each one of us to know you on a personal level. And the only way we can do that, Lord, is to seek you through prayer and to listen and to get rid of the world, as Michael Montana was talking about earlier, is to get rid of that world, that self in us, Lord, and to listen for you, because you're not going to talk to the carnal man. You're going to talk and teach through the spiritual man. And Father, we just praise you that we're all going to heighten up our prayer life in the days to come, because it's going to be necessary to get through some of these days ahead. As Michael was talking about earlier, Lord, we're going to need you in a strong and mighty way. We're going to have to know that you're speaking to us in order to get out of some of these situations, or in order to help people get out of those types of situations that are coming up, Lord. And we just praise you, Father, for teaching us this, how to pray and how to get into that inner chamber that you want us in at all times, and to listen for your voice, Father. Thank you, Lord, that all of us here tonight, Lord, are going to place it in our hearts, Lord, to seek you in a mighty way in that prayer closet, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody tonight with dreams and visions of things to come. And also, Lord, with the joy and the peace and the rest that you're in control and we don't have to worry about anything. Give us a good night's sleep, Lord, and give us supernatural energy for tomorrow's day. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, good night, saints. God bless you, and we love you.